Yeah. My buddy. It is, I don't know about you all, but it's kind of depressing to watch the news.
It really is. And
because when I'm watching the news, I'm looking for evidence of the kingdom expanding. I'm looking for what the church is doing. As children of God, we have to always walk in what we believe. We always have to represent and stand for God. Because if we don't, then God's kingdom can't expand. It simply cannot expand. Because the way a kingdom expands is by either it conquers and takes over territory, or one king submits to another king and they negotiate a treaty. But in actuality, the larger kingdom expands and takes over the smaller kingdom. Jesus said in his words that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So with that being said, I conclude that there can't be no negotiating.
Amen?
There can't be no negotiating. So the only way the kingdom can expand is by conquering territory. And I'm also convinced that there can be no compromising. The letter the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans was primarily a doctrinal letter. It was, the church in Rome was a prospering church. They were growing, they weren't having any major problems. They were representing. They were waiting for him to come and visit them, but because of all the other ministry and the other work that he had going on, he couldn't get there. So he wrote them this letter. And he was not, he was kind of upset because he wanted to be in Rome. He wanted to get there because he had been telling them that he would come. So in the letter, he explains primarily salvation. And he explains to them how salvation was due to the Jew as well as the Gentile through faith in Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, where we're going to start today, he starts the practical part. He starts telling them so that this is how you as a child of God are to represent. This is how you walk. Amen? He instructs them on how to act in civil society, how to act with one another, and how they should not, primarily the Jewish members, they should not look down on the Gentile members. Because all is saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? As citizens in God's kingdom and as ambassadors for Christ, we are sent into this world to be in this world, but not to be of this world. Amen? Amen. So How are we to help the kingdom expand? And that's what we're going to talk about today. As a drafted member in God's army, as a soldier drafted in God's army, what is our responsibility? How are we to take territory? How are we to expand God's kingdom? And Romans chapter 12 gives us a very powerful tool, a very powerful weapon that we can use in this daily battle called life that we're engaged in. So let's take a look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Everybody have it? Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in other words, I'm begging you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not conform to this world. And do not conform to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Today, there was a movie that came out, and if you all saw the movie The Transformers, we're techies, so me and my son, we just love that movie. And we watched them all. We bought them all. I like the movie because, one, I'm a techie, and I like robots, and I like science fiction. And the Transformers were these little robots, big robots, that would scan any electronic piece of machinery, and they could transform and change into that machinery. Jets, planes, cars, trucks. He likes this. They would transform into any kind of machinery. And they did that for mobility purposes, so they could get around. And then they could hide in plain sight and not be seen or not be recognized. But yet still, they're different. Amen? They're not, it's not a truck. It's not a plane. It's not a soda machine or a jet or a train. It's a transformer. So today I want to talk about being a transformer. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you have ever never seen the 700 Club, I would advise you to watch it. It comes on every weekday, 9 a.m., channel 36. I watch the 700 Club because it gives me information and insight of what's going on around the world spiritually, what Christians are doing around the world. I like it because it helps keep me up to date with how far we in the United States are from God's kingdom. If you look at other countries around the world, the two largest, United States of America and Europe, England, London, all those, are the two most powerful countries in the world. And they're far from their foundation. At least Europe, England, has in their constitution that they are a Christian nation. Christianity is the religion of the land. But one of the highest leaders in that land publicly stated that we're no longer a nation of one faith. We're now a nation of many faiths. Leaders of this land have made the same statement. I like to consider myself a
my wife calls me a nerd or a anal, but
I like to consider myself a keen observer with what's going on around me. Because I want to know where we are as a Christian body. I want to know, how is it that prayer can be taken out of schools, but guns can go into schools? That baffles me. And with the expansion of Islam in the largest countries in the world, I find it hard to understand that we, as children of God, we serve the most powerful God. We serve the only true and living God. One of the things that Christians do which pushes people away from us is, and we can't help it, it's the truth. We promote that Christ is the only way. But the way we do it, I think, is what pushes people away. Islam is growing so rapidly around the world till it's frightening. They have this Sharia law, which comes straight from their Quran, that has been used even in the United States of America in a court case, which is unbelievable. It is so powerful because they don't compromise. That is their plan, is to take over the world. You know? But as a child of God who has had an experience with God, who reads the Word of God, knows the truth of that Word, knows how we are to spread the gospel, spread the love of Christ, which in terms increases God's kingdom. I don't understand how we can sit back and allow another religion or faith that totally contradicts what we believe to expand in our own backyard, to take to take our territory. I don't understand how we can do that. In the text I just read, the Apostle Paul says that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. I had such a good time last night reading this till I almost just burst open and just started sharing it with my wife, which I don't like to do. But I started talking to her a little bit, and but when he tells us that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, what that means is we need to place, the word present there means to place a person or thing at someone else's disposal. The word sacrifice there means a victim. So he is begging us to present, to place ourselves as a victim before God, as a tool, as a vessel that God can use to expand his kingdom. Amen. So you are taking your life as a vessel or a tool, and you're saying to God, here I am, use me. Now, in order for God to use this vessel, according to the scripture we just read, it has to be holy, or it has to be sanctified. And that word there means well-pleasing to God. So that's what the word acceptable means. It means well-pleasing. God can use any person he chooses for whatever he chooses to use them for, because he's God. Amen? But I conclude that in order for us to be used as a transformer, we have to present our bodies. You have to surrender who you are to God. As Christ surrendered his life to us, to the world, as a sacrifice, we have to surrender our lives to God. And what God does is he does these two things now. According to the scripture, if you have been accepted by God as a transformer, then you have been proven to be holy. That's what the scripture says. And number two, you have proven to be well-pleasing or acceptable to God. Now, knowing this about yourself should empower you with an overwhelming feeling of joy. Your Creator has said to you that you are holy and I am well pleased. I accept your offering. I accept your sacrifice. I accept you, and now I'm getting ready to use you as a transformer, as a vessel to expand my kingdom. Verse 2, let me back up. In verse 1, after he says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. we need to understand that as Christians, it is not as citizens of God's kingdom. It's a part. It's like breathing. It should be so natural and such an in order act that you would present yourself to God and be used by God. The Apostle Paul here says it's your reasonable service. It's like when someone hires you to do a job, you do that job to the best of your ability because it's your reasonable service. They're paying you to do a job. If someone wants you to fix a car, you fix the car so that to the extent that the car works and it won't break down the next day. They're paying you for that reasonable service. That's what you're supposed to do. Amen? It's not something that the Lord should have to force you to do, convince you to do, pull out of you, make you. It's something you should desire to do. It's your reasonable service. Amen? So, moving on. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've heard this scripture a lot of times. We hear it all the time. People quote it back to us, and it's one of the scriptures people use to kind of help keep themselves motivated and full and just hyped up. I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And boom, boom, boom. But the word transformed here goes so deep into who you are. I mean, conformed. The word conformed here is deep rooted into who you are. It means to change one's self, one's mind, one's character to act or be like that of another person. I don't know about you, but I've been in situations that, and the part that gets you is the length or the duration of the situation. You're in the midst of a chaotic mess, or you're in the midst of, they call it a frenzy, when people just start getting irate and they're getting off focus and they're getting out of balance and they're getting away from God. And this thing has been going on. Say, for example, you get hired at a company and you go in there and there's a bunch of heathen, wild, unchristian, rude, obnoxious people that work there. Now, you need the job, so you don't just quit. You work there. But you work there now for 5, 6, 7 years. That's a long time to be working with people that are not like you. It is easy to conform. It's easy to become like them. Because the atmosphere and the environment is so conducive to opposite of who you are that you submit. You don't even try and fight. Before you know it, now you're cussing and you're coming to work late and you're taking 2-hour lunches and, you know, you're not doing your job to the best of your ability. You're just working your 8 hours and going home and cashing or depositing your paycheck. You've conformed. Amen? As a child of God, you're not supposed to conform. You're not supposed to become like an environment that is not conducive of who you are. You're supposed to, how they do it, Lemuel? You're supposed to transform by the renewing of your mind. And I like the word transform here is metamorpho, which we get our word metamorphosis. When I thought about this, you automatically think about a caterpillar transforming into a, metamorphosizing into a butterfly. The word metamorphosis means a great physical change. But it's deeper than that. It's a spiritual change. It's a character change, because a caterpillar is this little fat worm that's slithering around up and down tree limbs, eating leaves. The bitter, distasteful, horrible part of the tree or a plant that don't nobody eat but the caterpillars and other insects. But when the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and begins the metamorphosis or the transformation, out comes this, and most caterpillars are very unpleasant to look at, but when they come out of the cocoon into this beautiful butterfly, most kids, even myself, when you're young, you want to chase and capture these things because there's, you know, you want to chase and capture these things because they're so beautiful. After they transform into the butterfly, they no longer eat the leaves. Now they eat the sweet nectar of the flower, the pollen, and totally different transformation from the bitterness of the leaf to now the sweetness of the blossom, the flower, the pollen. And then they go from flower to flower, pollinating, impregnating, you with me? Expanding the garden. They're now helping the garden. First, they were hurting the garden by eating leaves. Now they're helping the garden. Oh, y'all got to come with me now. First, we hurt the kingdom when we don't transform in that situation I described. But how can we be like a butterfly, I mean a caterpillar, and transform into a butterfly? We can't go through that physical change, but we can go through a spiritual change. We can go through a character change. Amen. We can go through an increase in love, patience, faith. We can transform into a vessel of light that can be used by God to change that office from a place that people don't want to work at, to a place where people love to work at. So how do we do this? I don't want to get ahead of myself, so we'll get to that in a second. So we don't conform to the world. We are, and the word world there just means a period in time. Every period in time is temporary. It is not permanent. Amen. So it will soon come to pass. So, but in our transforming, and the text there is the same transforming that Christ did on the mountain of transfiguration when he called up Peter and James and John. And the Bible says he transfigured into a being of light. Are you with me? That was so powerful that they could barely bear to be around it. And then the other two figures appeared with him. And he started talking to was it Moses and Elijah? And they were standing there looking at Christ who used to look like this, but now he looks like a star in the sky. It's the same word that the Apostle Paul is using here. But how can we make that type of change? We renew our minds. Amen? Renewing means renovating completely, change for the better.
Amen.
So you're at this company and you're beginning to feel the draw that the gravity pull that the world has on a child of God. It's easy to fall victim, and it's easy to be like the world. Doesn't take much effort, doesn't take a whole lot of strength. It's not a battle. It's just easy to give in. It's hard to fight. Nobody wants to fight because it takes so much out of you. But we forget that we have this treasure in our earthen vessels that the excellency of God may come forward out of us, which is not us. It is the Christ in you that is the hope of glory. So in these situations, you have to start thinking, what can I do to change this situation?
Amen.
That won't pull so much physical exertion out of me. You let the Christ in you take over. You renew or rethink or remember the scripture. I can stand here before you and tell you that you have already, if when you accepted Christ, you've already subconsciously been used as a transformer. Today, I want to bring it to the forefront of your mind so that from now on, you can consciously be a transformer.
Amen.
And in terms, just by being that salt and light in the earth, the environment around you, well, one, it'll change. Two, people will start asking you how you handle this. How can you deal with this? How can you let that manager yell and fuss and blah, 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 and get all in your face and talk to you like you're not who you are? And you could respond to that in one or two ways. Either let your flesh come out, or you can let the Christ come out. When the Christ comes out, that person who's asking you, how can you do this, now wants to be like you. They want to be able to deal with this. Even though their flesh and their will and their pride won't let them come out and say it right away, but I guarantee you they're watching you. And a lot of times, like with men, when you're not looking, they start applying what you did. But they just don't want you to know that they want to be like you. They wait till your back is turned, and then we start, yeah, well, okay, sir, I'll take care of it. But while you're watching, well, don't talk to me like that. You know, I've been working here for 15 years. I know what I'm supposed to do and blah, blah, blah. But you turn your back, it's like, okay, sir, I'll take care of it. That's how we operate. But if we allow the Christ in us to come out and we transform into this vessel that the Apostle Paul describes in verse 1, that God accepts and he uses to bring about this change, then the people around you who you don't think are watching, maybe someone else in their lives have been planting these seeds that come go with me to church. And then they talk to you and they find out that you're a member of some church somewhere and that you have this relationship with God and it's the Christ in you that allows you to be patient in situations like this. The next thing you know, that person's going to church because they want to be like you. They want to have joy and peace in a situation where they normally have stress and anger. Because, see, to be joyful and peaceful is less strenuous on the body than to be stressful and angry. You can physically get tired going to work when all you do is sit at your desk because you're being stressed out and you're being angered and your muscles that you don't see are working so hard till by the time you get home, you just want to sit down and go to sleep, watch TV and eat and call it a day because you've been so drained at this job. And then on the other hand, you have people who work the same job, work the same hours, but when they go home, they change and they go out and they run track and they go play tennis or they go out and do evangelism. They go because they still have energy. They still have joy. They still have the love of Christ in their heart. They're not allowing that to affect who they are. And they didn't get stressed and drained. So it's in order to expand God's kingdom and to take territory so that it can expand, which is what I think the church has so wrong till it's affecting the United States of America. We have the largest populations of Christians in the world, but yet prayer has been taken out of schools. It may seem to be impossible to be one person and be in a situation that you feel you cannot change. You cannot influence. You cannot bring about light. But I propose to you that over 2,000 years ago, one man sent by God, born of a virgin, came into this world and completely changed everything that was going on. Amen. So what Christianity means is to be like Christ. If he did it, then we're supposed to be able to do it. Amen. Amen. And he came to be an example of what God expects from his children. Because God's laws and his prophets weren't getting the job done fast enough. So I like to explain it like this, and this is how my mind works. I like to explain it that one day in heaven, God had a board meeting. And he asked all the angels, he said, "This is not working." I knew it wasn't going to work because I'm God. But I need a volunteer to go down and make some changes. Now let me tell you what's going to happen to you before you volunteer. You're going to be crucified, hung on a cross, accused, you're going to die, you're going to experience tremendous pain and suffering. But 3 days later, I'm going to resurrect you, and you're going to have a seat by my right side, and you will be called my son. And Christ said, "I'll do it." So God sent him down through Mary, and he was birthed into this world. He knew what he had to do before he did it. And he still did it. That's sacrifice. And so Christ says, I'll do it. And you can do it. The Bible says that in every situation where you are weak, he is strong. If you allow him to be. Amen? Your weakness in a situation where you would normally give in, you allow the Christ in you to transform you into a vessel of strength, and you stand. Amen? In a situation that is a test of your patience, you renew, rethink, remember the word of God, and you allow the Christ in you to transform you into a vessel of patience. Amen? This one's hard for me. In a situation where someone's physically trying to hurt you, ladies, don't do this. Protect yourselves. But men who are strong and can defend themselves, in a situation where someone is physically trying to harm you, instead of fighting back and taking that person out, you allow the Christ in you to transform you into someone that can turn the other cheek. That's hard for me. But if you think about how the person may ask you, why aren't you fighting back? I'd be like, I don't want to hurt you. But I'm not going to fight back with you in this situation, whereas I can show you that Christ in me wants you to be a vessel, to be a servant like I am. So if I hit you back, then I'm just doing what you're doing to me. So I'm going to defend myself. And I'm not going to let you hurt me, but I'm not going to fight you back. So eventually, either you're going to get tired and give up, or I'm going to get tired and I'm going to get hurt. But I'm not going to fight you back. If your faith is of that character, Christ is not going to let you get hurt. Women, get out of Dodge. Don't put yourselves in that situation. A lot of times, I've seen it. I've almost gotten ran over by a woman in her car in the church parking lot because she wanted to get a good seat. She wanted to get a good parking space. When we were instructed not to allow people got to fill up this area. Then you got to fill up this area, and you go on. Well, she had a certain spot she liked to go and park in. And we were like, no, you got to go here. This woman came about like here to me. And I was like, well, dang, gone. I mean, I can't stop no car. But I'm like, why you can't simply just follow the directions? I mean, here we are. You on the church property. You getting ready to go into the house of the Lord. And you about to run somebody over in the parking lot. I mean, come on. We are faced with many challenges in this world. As children of God, the very essence of God is being challenged. The marriage is being challenged. Christ still is being challenged. Prayer is being challenged. Ten Commandments are being challenged. Everything that we hold dear, everything that we hold doctrinal in our faith is being challenged. No one's challenging Sharia law. No one's challenging Mormonism. No one's challenging Jehovah's Witness faith. No one's challenging any other religion, any other faith, any other belief. But Christianity is being challenged every day. There are court cases that are going on right now challenging the Christian faith and what we believe in. The whole organization that Jay Sekulow started is about defending Christian liberties. It's a nonprofit organization. They are in the courts every day fighting for Christian freedoms in this nation that prints on our currency, "In God We Trust." But we fight on a daily basis for the ability for our children to just be able to pray in school publicly. The Christmas is being challenged. Celebrating the birth of our Savior is being challenged. We can't celebrate Christmas in certain places. You can't even say Christmas. You can't say Christ. When you pray in a public office somewhere, you can't say, they don't want you to say, "In Jesus' name." Why not? It's what we believe. It's our faith. They don't challenge someone saying Allah this or Allah that or whatever, but they'll challenge you if you say "In the name of Jesus." Amen? That is unbelievable in the United States of America. Well, it's happening because not a lot of Christians are being transformed. We're not changing the world to be like Christ. We're allowing the world to change us to be more like the world. And the kingdom of God is not expanding. I used to think, and I've told you this before, I used to think that when you became saved, you're in God's kingdom. Well, we've proven in Scripture that that is not the case. So back in 2008, the Lord revealed to me that If we use this as a scale, his kingdom is like this. I thought it was like this. It's not. It's like this. There are millions of Christians in this country, but not all of them are a member of God's kingdom. We need to expand the kingdom so that the laws, and we can keep prayer in schools or get prayer back in schools, and we can celebrate Christmas, and we can pray in the name of Jesus, and we can do all these things that are held true to us and not be frightened or sued, or there are not a lot of Christians in the courtrooms. There are not a lot of Christian judges. There are not a lot of Christian councilmen and congressmen and senators, seems like, because if they are, they're not standing true to what they believe. You have a few of them that are standing out. Then you have a whole bunch of them that are Christians, but they're not. They'd rather save their job and have that political office and not raise a ruckus, not cause a conflict. So they won't say anything. But in the meantime, we're promoting men can marry men and women can marry women and they can raise a child together, and all that is to be normal. So my question is this, and I'll close. Are we going to be conformers, or are we going to be transformers? Because transformers, in the latter part of verse 2, can tell you why you want to be a transformer. That you may prove. And the word there is, you may try, test You may, it's the same word that's used in Malachi when God says, bring the tithes into the storehouse that you may, that there may be meat in my house, and prove to me that I will not open up the windows of heavens and pour you out a blessing. It's the same word. It's one of two places where God says, try me. Test me. And see not that I will do what I said I would do. Tithing and transforming. It's the only two places God says, try me and see. Try me and see. He says that you may prove that perfect, complete, finished, full will of God. It's God's will that we transform this world to be more like his kingdom. And I told you a while back that when you line up with God's will, awesome things happen. Awesome blessings flow. He can't help it because that's his word. Amen? And he has to honor his word. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I declare that those under the sound of my voice will be transformers. We will stand according to your word. We will let the Christ in us, the hope of glory, come out in every circumstance and situation so that the people around us will see Christ. They will desire to be like Christ. So, Father, we pray and ask that you would give us strength, give us courage, give us boldness, give us that which we need to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. And, Father, we thank you now in advance. You call. We say yes and amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. You're welcome.